So, very good evening to all brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. Today is the 4th of March, Thursday class 2021. We will be continuing with our sharing from this book, The Essence of Infinite Meaning, Teachings from the Adapted Verses of the Sutra of Infinite Meaning, or Wu Liang Yi Jing. So, yeah, I page 1, 2, 3, we will continue from there after. As usual, before we start, we will have half an hour of awareness-based meditation. So I will off the light, then I will set the alarm. So we will have this half an hour of awareness-based meditation. Just relax body and mind, followed by the other to support, maintain awareness. So relax body and mind, silent your mind, maintain awareness for as long as you can. For those who are used to the various skillful means like methods and technique, or other type of skillful means to train your mind, to anchor your mind, you can use them too. It's up to you. You can develop anapanasati if you want to, or you can develop an object of meditation to anchor the mind. For those who are familiar with dynamic meditation or chanting, you can also use them. The key thing is to develop the inner silent, the silent mind, the meditative mind. Maintain awareness, nature within. We often hear people speak about their small successes as if it were great accomplishment, in particular when they do a good deed. They become puffed up with pride. However, when they do something bad, they try to hide it from others. In the Lotus Sutta, there is a line that speaks of people claiming to have attained what they have not attained, claiming to have realized what they have not realized. There are people who have done only a little but talk a lot about it. And there are those who have understood only a little but claim to have understood everything. These are considered lies, and it will create severe karma. In working with people and things, we must mindfully seek to experience and understand them. After helping others, we must speak only of what we have actually done. If we cannot interact with people and deal with things harmoniously, then even if we know a lot of principles, we have not arrived at a true, complete realization. So this is very true. So the ability to deal with things harmoniously is very important. If you are not able to do it harmoniously, it means you don't have the Dhamma. So here what they say is, if you still can't deal with things harmoniously, then even if we know a lot of principles, the Buddhist principles, we have not arrived at a true, complete realization. This is very true. Is you may think you are good, you have accomplished and know a lot of Buddhist principles or Dhamma understanding, but if you cannot deal and handle things harmoniously or amicably, you have not arrived at true, complete realization. So this aspect of cultivation is very important. as you progress along the path of Dhamma, you will start to understand this principle more and more. That's why whatever we do, whether spiritual trip or any activity, we always work toward resolving issue amicably, harmoniously. As soon as we come across correct principles, we must carefully study and comprehend them in detail. So this is the correct attitude for learning, for cultivation. When you hear the correct principles, you must carefully study and comprehend them in detail. Time awaits for no one, or time waits for no one. We do not know whether we will live to see tomorrow. Will we safely live through today? Perhaps impermanent is already upon us. Therefore, we must not be lax in anything we do. After realizing the principles, we will clearly understand whether our own views are correct. Every day we must reflect on and ask ourselves, do we still have selfish intent or intention when dealing with people and things? After examining ourselves, if we can answer no to that, then we can confidently say that we trust that we are selfless. So cultivation is self-observation. When you are mindful, heedful, and you can observe clearly, you will progress. Inability to observe ourselves will lead to downfall. Observing ourselves and learning the true principle is very important. It's just like most people encounter the same problem. Most cultivators, they often come across these words: it's easy to see other people's fault than to see your own fault. Because to identify other people's fault through external is easy, but to identify our own fault through self-retrospection is not easy. That one, you need mindfulness, awareness, heedfulness. You need a mind that is very sensitive, constantly aware, ever mindful. So this is very important. Initially, in the early days of cultivation, I still remember ability to see our own mental movement is very important. Sometimes this mundane mind, they are very cunning. Without you knowing, the habitual tendency, the selfishness, the delusion, they just pop up. It has become a habit to most people to lie, to cheat, to deceive, and to make fun of people. So when certain habits are already very strongly developed until it has become habitual tendency, so there is this tendency to just do it, then you will be deceived by the so-called principles. Yeah, you can't see your own mental intent behind the selfishness, the deceitfulness, the desire or the craving to do certain thing, the intent behind. You can see, to you think these are normal. because it has become habitual tendency to you. So you think it's normal to do things that way. But behind it, if you check the mental intention behind, you can't see your own desire, your own selfishness, your own craving, means you still have a long way to go in your cultivation. Ability to be sensitive to your own mind's intent is very important. That's why it's not easy to develop the understanding of virtue. When you have virtue, all this, the negative selfish intent will naturally be gone. Because when you are sincere, when you are honest, when you are kind, when you really have the Dhamma and the Metta, so everything becomes very natural. Naturally it flows, it moves. Whereas the one that is heedless, they can't. Because the heedless mind, the mundane mind, the dependent originating mind, that one is full of ego, deluded. And when you act using that mind, which is still unenlightened, it has that evil roots of greed, hatred, delusion that spring from Sakayaditi, self-delusion. So Sakayaditi is the main defilement that is difficult to root out. You can root out Sakayaditi, self-delusion, then the evil roots will be gone too. But to root that out, you need wisdom, you need understanding, you need to awaken to the truth. You have to have a very stable daily mindfulness and strong contemplative wisdom, uniso manasikara. Then you have to cultivate diligently, sincerely. Then we will be able to trust that everyone has love in their heart. Because the Buddha teaches us that every sentient being fundamentally possesses a pure, intrinsic Buddha nature. As long as we eradicate the defilements of greed, hatred and delusion or ignorance, arrogance and doubt, we will be able to truly understand the principle and not lose our way. So the wise superintendent of Dalin, Darling, Sechi Hospital, one shared a simple story which contained a great truth. A child noticed that he had dropped a Taiwan. Is it 10 ringgit or $10 coin? So he was crying on the roadside. A kind passes by asked, "Child, why are you crying?" The child said, "I lost that $10. The passerby said, "It's only a $10 coin. I will give you another one." Surprisingly, after receiving the money, the child cried even louder. The passerby thought that these are tears of gratitude. So he comforted the child by saying, "Giving you $10 was no big deal. Don't cry anymore." The child said, "I'm crying because if I haven't lost the $10 that I had before, with the $10 you gave me, I would have $20. So that was the reason why he cried. Ordinary people are like the child in the story. They are saddened by a loss, but make up the loss would not necessarily cheer them up. They may end up feeling even more regret. I often say, having won, we feel we lack nine. For example, someone may have a high salary, but when asked to do one more task, he will complain that he does not get anything extra in return. Ordinary people are confused over the principles. Even though they already have a lot, they continue to want more. Isn't this exhausting? So there are strange people. Not everybody had the same understanding and feeling. Normally for us, if we have lost something, then somehow we get compensated. We feel gratitude. We felt gratitude when we really have this heart that is very thankful, very grateful for what happened. But seldom I see people who are not grateful or have gratitude when this thing happened. So here the story is really something I can't really understand. Maybe there are such people, but I think very rare. So what is described is maybe common in Taiwan, I don't know. As far as I can recall, since my childhood experience and engagement in life, I haven't really seen such a person. By contrasting, such a volunteer not only donate their money and strength, they offer their time without counting the hours. They also happily delegate themselves to the difficult work of disaster relief. Just being able to see the disaster survival gradually regain peace and stability makes them feel very happy. This is an example of how understanding principle give rise to wisdom and peace of mind. So this is very true. If by comparison, no? Or what they say by contrast, you look at those people who help out at Suji volunteer, they not only have the understanding and joy to donate generously, they contribute their money and their strength to help out. And they offer their time without counting the hours. They also happily dedicate themselves to the difficult work of disaster relief. They've just been able to see the victim or the disaster survival gradually regaining peace and stability makes them very happy. So this is really a good example of how understanding principles can give rise to wisdom and peace of mind. Upon returning from a disaster area, some volunteers even said, "Let me rest for a few days and take care of my business at home and at work. After that, perhaps, please arrange for me to go again with the next team." There are some volunteers who fall ill, but they work hard on their recovery so that they can immediately return to serving people. So very rare and seldom do you find such sincere and dedicated volunteers. Because they cannot bear to let living beings suffer, the volunteer rush back and forth between their homes and the disaster area happily and willingly help out. So these are very dedicated, sincere, and honest volunteer. There are many doctors today, but how many of them seek no recognition or personal gain and are willing to give unconditionally? In the world of Suji, the doctors of DIMA, I think, Suji International Medical Association, and those at our hospital all eagerly devote their time and effort to joyful service. This is because as they witness the suffering of their parents, they realize the impermanence of life. As they resolve to serve others, they also deeply penetrate life's principle. Then their spiritual aspiration grow and their hearts fill with gratitude. After they finish volunteering, I often hear this doctor say, "Thank you for giving me the chance to serve." This is how understanding principle gives rise to wisdom and peace of mind. Their clear understanding of the principle has inspired their wisdom, and therefore they are happy to serve others. Such a peaceful and carefree state of mind shows that they have understood the true principle. This is very true. You don't go out and volunteer and try it out or help. You won't understand. When I was young, I liked to help. And most of the time, we don't even call ourselves volunteer. We just join in. Whenever there is a need to participate or to help. Because in the early days, when I was young, we lived in a small town, quite outskirts. So this village where we lived, there were a few hundred families, but we know each other, almost everyone. Because the villagers, we were very close. And how we get to know each other is because of the uniqueness of the way the village community is being set up. There is an association. In fact, there are many associations to the various dialect and all those things. And people during those times, they interact very often, almost every day. Not to say they purposely come and see you, interact with you, or ask you out. No, it's just a daily routine, I still remember. And during the early days, we all wake up very early, very, very early, especially my mother. He will wake up 5 o'clock or 5:30. Then he will have his whole day of work and duty and all those things. Then I help my father open the medical shop. Then my father will be manning that medical shop together with me, and I help out. Then early morning, as we open our door, people will walk by our shop to maybe go somewhere or on their return or something. And sometimes they are customers, they will drop into our shop and buy things. And during the early day, the way we actually go about living as a community is very beautiful. We share information very fast. So when they pass by, they will greet you, and you will greet them, and there's a lot of joy. Then they will ask you, "Have you heard so and so today what happened, or yesterday what happened?" So because it's a small town, everybody get to know all the news very fast. Then sometimes when there is something happen like fire or theft or whatever, or some accident or whatever, the news spread very fast. Almost half or 60, 70 or sometimes 80% of the villagers, they all know. Then every family is so responsible. They say, "You, go and help," because we are still young and energetic. So we really go and help put out fire and all those things. Then sometimes disaster really big deal. Then sometimes it's festival, festival. So we really go and help. Then sometimes help out in the function. It could be a marriage function or event, or sometimes even funeral. And there are many activities during that time. And almost everybody know everybody that time, the whole village. We were very close. Then the story is being shared until almost everybody know what is happening within the community and the village. But ever since I came down to PJ KL for my education, and I live here for so many years, I realized there is no more such community around. Most of us only know maybe our neighbors, and some friends, but we hardly know the rest. Even SS2 itself along this road, I only know some of them, and most of them, I don't know. Well, we seldom interact, and there is not much condition. So maybe that is the way our society's evolution and change. So there are benefits of the olden civilization, the community type of living that I experienced when I was young. I find that very conducive and very useful, and there is a lot of joy. It's time like can pass by, even though very slowly, but there is a lot of joy, a lot of happiness. Then we greet each other very often, and then we have a lot of exchange. Sometimes they will stop by my father's shop and share a lot of story and news. Then sometimes my father will read the newspaper and discuss the newspaper topic and all those things. Then we update each other very fast. The sharing of information was very useful. Then the tradition was so good. Every time festival, you know, Chinese almost throughout the year got festival, got event. So it is like a norm to give or exchange offerings and orders, especially on New Year time or certain festival. So this is what community living is all about. So I find that very useful. Okay, we go back to the notes. The other part that I want to share is, because they mentioned about the doctors that came out and become volunteers, then after they volunteer, they learn a lot of things. Then they have gratitude and all those things. Because most doctors seldom have condition or opportunity to really put to practice their skill or their knowledge or their understanding or their training. So they can only do that if they work at a hospital that is very busy or there's a lot of patient to look to attend to. So you become a Tsuchi volunteer, normally medical personnel, they are really overworked, overloaded. So when you are able to participate in such things, you really learn, you really learn. It's just like when I was young, joined the community to help people, you know. So the gotong royong, the cooperation, the sincerity, the kind expression of help and aids, these are very joyful, very beautiful. Then when we ask for donation, volunteer, people respond very fast, very fast. In fact, small town, most of them are very sincere, very kind, very generous in their approach. And they really have gratitude. They remember. I still remember what happened. Because I heard a lot of this when I was young. You see, when a person passed away, especially in a small town, you will know whether the person has helped a lot of people or not. Because the word was spread, so and so passed away. Then people will start to share their experience, that how they received help from this particular person before and all this thing. So when my dad passed away, my mom passed away, a lot of people came because they have gratitude. And my dad and my mom, they are very simple people, but they are very kind. Wherever they can help, they help. Then within the medical, Chinese medical profession, my father is a Chinese sensei, has a Chinese medical shop. So he helped many patients, many of his customers and all those things. And the whole village know him because he is very good. And he has really helped many people. Some who are very poor, very not able to bear some of the costs of medication and all those things. If it's emergency or sometimes you feel you have to do, so my father will still pay for the medical and all those things and tell the person, don't worry, when you have money, only you come and repay them or repay my father. There's some, he said, never mind, you can keep this as a debt first until you are better, you are in the position to pay back, then you'll come. So these are the things that my parents do. And people has this gratitude, they can recall. Then there were many occasions, I remember, middle of the night. Normally middle of the night when you are sleeping, 2, 3 a.m., 3, 4 a.m., they come and knock on the door of the shop. And I have to open up the door with my dad many times. And most of the time it's emergency. Emergency. So sometimes my dad follow them and when I visit the patient. Then most of the time my dad will ask what is happening. Then he will give some medication. So these are the things that you will do in the olden days, village community concept. Then you get to learn a lot of things when you are really involved in all those things. That's why volunteer service is very good. Sometimes in school also, we act as volunteer and people like to join St. John's Ambulance. Then some like to become scout, we are more adventurous. And I joined the school band. Then because sports and all those things, I was not good. I was very skinny. But I like music. I like to play the flute. I like to play the musical instrument. So I joined the school band. That was the first band in the whole of the state of Kedah. So we were the pioneer, first batch. So I played the side drum. So it was very interesting. Okay, I'll read on. Here is it. Okay. Inspire their wisdom and therefore they are happy to serve others. Such a peaceful and carefree state of mind show that they have understood the true principle very true. With wisdom as the foundation of our practice, we will attain equanimity of mind. Yeah. When you have wisdom as the foundation of your cultivation, you will most of the time have this equanimous mind. Wisdom is fundamentally to practicing the path. We may wonder which is the right direction to take. We need wisdom to discern the right path or the right course. Discerning wisdom is the ability to clearly distinguish and recognize principles which impartial wisdom means being able to view all sentient beings as equal. So this part on discerning wisdom is very important. When you have cultivated deep enough, long enough, and when you have developed the basic wisdom, you will be able to discern with good wisdom as to what is right and what is not right. And you will know how to distinguish between heedless living and heedful living. Without Dhamma, without wisdom, you cannot discern. Wisdom is required. So wisdom is very important. Only wisdom free the mind, nothing else. All sentient beings coexist under the same sky and on the same planet, Earth. Even though we may not personally know those who are suffering from disaster or maybe geographically distant from them, they are still closely related to us. For example, doctors know that whenever a disaster strikes, people will inevitably be injured and become ill. So this is very true. This falls under their area of expertise. So if they are able to travel to the disaster area and attend to the sick and the injured, they will go there without hesitation. So these are very sincere volunteers. And whenever there is a disaster or crisis, there is a lot of suffering. So most of the time is injury. Then sometimes it's despair, separation, loss of loved ones, property, prized possession, loss of their home, their house, their shelter. And sometimes it may also involve what they call very severe accidents or injuries during disaster period. Especially during war, during nature's disaster crisis. There are many incidents. Even nowadays, there are more severe nature's disaster. Not only hurricane, they got various type of very destructive typhoon, or now they got different names, Hurricane Katrina and many other names. And they also have what they call bushfire, forest fire, until the whole environment is very severely destroyed. Then sometimes volcanic activity, earthquake and all those things. And tsunami is also very bad and very severe. And so far we have witnessed, I think, two. One is 204, a very major one. Then the other one is the one in Japan. It's also equally severe, Fukushima. So all this, we are indeed living in a golden age, because we get to witness many of this, which seldom happen or occur. Throughout my 64 years of existence, I only saw it in the year 2004. That was the first time I witnessed tsunami. So that time I was age 50 years old. Then after that, many years later, I witnessed the one in Japan. So all this, when they happen, it can be very severe. So if you have a chance to maybe encounter any of this and be in the position to volunteer, you should try. You should try. There is a different type of experience. There's a lot of joy, but also make sure you have the help, and that is what you want to do. Others, if not, then don't try to avoid unless you are really having the health and the condition. Wisdom and a clear understanding of the principles can guide our action. This is very true. Wisdom and a clear understanding of the Buddhist principle. If you don't have the understanding of the Dhamma or the Buddhist principle, actually it's not easy. Only wisdom can guide our action. So that we remain on the right path. Then we have the equanimity to let go of all attachment to recognition and wealth, and wholeheartedly contribute our time, money and strength so that we may serve others. So this requires sincerity, love, compassion and understanding. It's not easy. But when you have the condition and you can do it, it's very beautiful, really very, very beautiful. Okay, we move on to the next section. They are able to give up all that is hard to give up. This is beautiful. Such as wealth, wife, children, and kingdom. Never begrudging anything, internal or external. Their head, eye, bone marrow, and brain are all given to others. This refers to great beings, bodhisattvas. Throughout their cultivation, when they are going through the test, when they are going through the perfection, they will be able to do all this. That's why sometimes when you read all this sutta, you may think, are you sure? That is crazy, isn't it? Like what is written here? They are able to give up all that is hard to give up. So that itself is already not easy for most people, such as their wealth. Maybe wealth, they are quite common. People who can do that are quite common. But able to give up and sacrifice for others by giving up your children, your wife, and your kingdom, that one is not easy. Like Sakyamuni, he renounced the world and he gave up the kingdom. He was the heir in line. But he gave up. He just renounced the world and he go. Then there was certain Jataka story where he was requested to give up his children and his wife, which was a test. And he gave it up, really. Never begrudging anything. This one also not easy, internal or external. Then they can also give up their head, their eyes, their bone marrow, and brain. They are all given to others. There was also a story in the Jataka tales, I still remember. There was one incident where that lady, I think she is a bhikkhuni cultivator. She already became an arahant. But because of her fair complexion and beautiful feature, especially her eyes, there was one man, I think, don't know whether it is a rich family's son or what, I forgot. He was so crazy about this lady. Keep on following her and admiring her. Then one day, this bhikkhuni or this lady stopped and turned around and asked him, why are you following me? He said, because you are so pretty. He said, which part of me is pretty? He said, your eye. And do you know what she did? Huh? She put her hand and take out her eye and said, nah, you can have it and don't follow me anymore. That incident, I think, scared that guy how he shocked out of his life. And there is such a tale, even as an arahant, because they know this thing is not important. And it's like for them to test their understanding when there is condition. So these are the things that this type of cultivator or beings, when there is condition for it to happen, they can really do and sacrifice. Okay, we read on a little bit more. These passages indicate that as the first step to learn the Buddha's way means to become Sammasambuddha, we must cultivate generosity or giving, dana parami. In addition to giving all kinds of tangible goods or materialistic goods to help others, we must also give up the intangible afflictions of greed, hatred, and delusion. This is very important. you can give up the defilements that is far more superior than any other ghee. With a thorough understanding of principle, we realize there is nothing to take issue over, and we can freely give up everything. This one demands a lot of Dhamma understanding. That's why here the author says, with a thorough understanding of the principle, Dhamma principle, we realize that there is nothing to take issue in this world over. So when you can have that understanding, you become different. And we can freely give everything when there is condition. So this is beautiful. In life, suffering arises from poverty, illness, accident, and disasters. So this is very true as you go through life. Wherever there is poverty, illness, accident, or disaster, there is suffering. Many people suffer because they lack the basic necessity of life. So the three basic necessity of life, as we all know, food, shelter, and medicine. Food and shelter is number one. Then the next is, of course, you need to have money, and medicine, medication. Therefore, when we have more than what we require, we should do our best to give to those who are in need. Take Suci volunteers. Chen Jingfa, Lao Mingxian. Lao Mingxian. Zhang Wenliang, Zhang Wenlang, and Zhang Yichang, for example. After the Great Sichuan earthquake in China, they took turns leading a relief team into the Sichuan disaster zone, staying for over 10 days on each trip and going back time and time again, although they all have very busy career. They still said, my work doesn't matter. There will always be money to be made. My business can wait until the disaster relief effort is over. They are demonstrating the great aspiration of spiritual practitioners. Some of them even encourage their spouses and children to help. This truly exemplifies being able to give up all that is hard to give up, such as well their time to be with their wife, children, and kingdom. So this is especially true. I recall the Sichuan great earthquake. I saw it in the TV, the news, and the papers. There was so much joy. You see how the world community, and especially China, the people where they have more wealth during that period, and even a lot of celebrities from Hong Kong and other part of China and overseas Chinese, they really go all out and contribute, give donation. The donation came in very fast, much faster than other international donation, relief aids and all those things. And because of that time, China, the government is already very different. They have the means to mobilize their workforce very fast, and they rebuild the earthquake shaken Sichuan province. And many years later, when I went to China, there were a few spiritual trips to China where I passed by that Sichuan area, and we saw it's totally developed, so different. The new buildings, the well-planned Sichuan area, the province, the village, and the cities. It has become so beautiful. But during the disaster, there's a lot of casualty. There were a lot of great stories. Sometimes the volunteer or the the government soldiers and also what they call firemen or whatever. They volunteer and they go there, they were relieving people's suffering, helping people, saving people's lives. But their own children, which was in another part of the earthquake area, the school, he couldn't rescue his own children because he was not assigned over there. But he take that thing to be a duty. That's why he still continue with the work despite the bad news about his own children have already succumbed to the disaster. So there were many of this type of case. When I heard it, it really touched my heart. And my nature sent whatever pure wish and blessing and wish him recovery, well-being and other things. So that time, because our media civilization has already progressed, there were a lot of news coming in, especially to international news media and even handphone. So this was a beautiful sharing experience, especially certain event happen, you should follow, learn to follow, because there's a lot of Dhamma there. You learn a lot of things. Okay, we continue. Giving does not only include giving of materialistic things. We must never be grudge anything internal or external. An example of this is when couples encourage each other to give by saying, without enough people, the formation of Ciji cannot be achieved. And this is very wholesome. Eh? There is so much to be done. Very true. When you volunteer, you can see so much to be done. Don't worry about me. Just go and help. With more helping hand, the mission we care about can be achieved. This encouragement and support between couples and between parents and children is also a form of giving. I often listen to Ciji Faith Corps members and commissioners sharing their experiences and publicly repent for their past. How wasteful and indulgent they used to be, and how many mistakes they used to make. This is also a form of giving. They are giving up their past affliction and continuing clearly out of ignorance. Oh, sorry. And continually clearing out ignorance and filth from their mind. When Ciji volunteers help the elderly and disabled clean their homes, the same holds true. If the garbage is not thrown out, how can a room be clean? Repentance is a method for self-purification. That's why repentance is very important. Chanhui. It is also a means of giving out ignorance and filth. So repentance leads to self-purification. Why are so many people in the world willing to selflessly give of themselves for the sake of all sentient beings? Because they already truly understand the Dhamma principles. They have the wisdom and peace of mind to willingly make use of their ability to help ease the suffering. Therefore, no matter what the situations are, whatever situation they face, they can remain at peace. Furthermore, they are able to give up all that is hard to give up. By being willing to dedicate themselves to serving others, they manifest value of their lives to the fullest. By giving up our wealth, our wife, children, and kingdom is easier said than done. First, one must truly understand the Dhamma principle and learn to eliminate ignorance. Spiritual cultivation requires learning how to eliminate greed, hatred, and delusion, arrogance, and doubt in our daily life. However, these five afflictions are all habitual tendency. Yes, habitual tendency, very true. Your greed, hatred, and delusion, arrogance, and doubt. The five afflictions, they are really habitual tendency. And habitual tendencies are very difficult to root out or get rid of. That is why I always say spiritual cultivation is about working with our habitual tendency. And this is very true. Just now, a lady, Dharma friend of Kempita, came and see me. Then I also shared with her about habitual tendency, how habitual tendency developed. I say initially it's from our self-delusion, self-identity, because we have this delusion within self-identity. So this gives rise to an egoic mind, a personality, an I and a me. That's how it conditions the universal selfishness. But when you think you exist, that personality, the ego, will give rise to possessiveness. You will try to own things and have things. That's how you become possessive, greedy. Then after that, because of the personality, you can also become violent, angry, unhappy, fearful, miserable. So it's all from the ego, sakyadity. And because of that, the Buddha called it confusion, delusion. So when you deludedly grasp onto this five aggregate of form and mind, thinking that that is what you are and you are real, that's how you develop habits of like and dislike, pleasant and unpleasant. Then reaction to sense experience, you can just explode or become very angry or very unhappy or violent, or you can just be triggered by what you see, what you hear, what you smell, what you taste, or sometimes what you technically feel, the unpleasant sensation and feeling. So when you live life without heedfulness, without mindfulness, without awareness, you cannot see yourself. You cannot understand what is going on. So you tend to develop habits first. You become habitually repeating all this. So over time, this habit develops a tendency that is very strong. That's why it becomes what they call a tendency that people identify as habitual tendency. The tendency that you will respond or react instantaneously based on your wrong view or delusion or sakyadity. So the Buddha actually in his teaching also taught us that this type of habitual tendency is called anusaya. Anusaya. So anusaya, when developed, is very difficult to reverse or to root out. That's why in cultivation, we must first learn to be mindful, aware, and reflect clearly to see ourselves clearly. Self-knowledge, self-investigation, self-awareness. We need the awareness to see all this habitual tendency, habitual reaction, habitual activity of mind, how we stir, how we react, how we do all these things, like habitually. And this tendency is so strong. If you don't reflect on the Dhamma, contemplate on the Dhamma, and realize that this is wrong, this is not correct. Because when people do it to us, when we are mindful, when we reflect, we know We become upset. We become unhappy. So when you see this, you learn. That's why through self-knowledge, self-observation, you understand this is not appropriate because you yourself don't like to be scolded, don't like to be deceived, cheated, or violently accused of certain things that you didn't do. So all this, when you start to see how you get yourself afflicted by people who are deluded and heedless, and who has this habitual tendency to do things that way, you will understand. Then you will check for your own self within. Do you also do that to others? And then you will come to understand the law of karma. You reap what you sow. You have been doing all this to others. That's why when there is condition, you become the victim. It comes back to you. So through knowing yourself, through becoming more and more mindful and aware, you learn. Then you straighten your view. You learn to accept things as they are. Then you learn to reverse all this habitual tendency when you know it's inappropriate, not right, against the Dharma principle, against Noble Eightfold Path. These are wrong view that condition our wrong thought, wrong speech, and wrong action. That's how we react, stir our mind, and create all this habitual reaction thinking. So just now that lady was sharing some of the things she experienced. And this thing, she saw it coming out from her own parents. That's why she got a shock. She said, how can my own parents become like that? I say it's not how can they become like that, they are just the way they are. Because without Dhamma, without wisdom, they are just like normal people, heedless. And they are just the way they are. Ignorant people do ignorant things. Violent people do violent things. Selfish people do selfish things. So I say you see, you witness, then you understand. It's not for you to comment. It's whether you can understand why they are like that. Not until you can understand yourself, you cannot understand others. Not easy. That's why the Dhamma starts with self-discovery, self-awareness. From self-awareness, you learn. You straighten your view. Then when you interact with people, you become different. You can observe. Then you can understand why people are just the way they are. Then you can straighten your view and accept them for what they are and be at peace with them. Be at peace with all situations and all conditions. And this is the best way to cultivate. That's why constant reflection, contemplation, and self-awareness, ever mindful to observe, to see, to understand, not to react, not to become unhappy, not to become miserable, then hit out at others, erupt and do all this funny thing. This is not the Dhamma way. This is the mind of the ego, the conscious mind, the egoic mind, the thinking mind, the mundane mind. You should live with your true mind, your awareness nature within. You should meditate with the awareness within. It's only the awareness that can be aware and understand what is going on. Then it can reverse all this to an understanding. And the understanding is wisdom. When you can be aware and awaken insight into phenomena, realize the universal characteristic, understood the Dhamma, the self-delusion, the sakayadity, the evil roots, the words all spring up, become very clear to you. Then you saw it within how the delusion condition, that type of mental intention that has the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion. Then as you reflect and contemplate, you develop great understanding. You will know exactly what these defilements are. What is greed? Why the Buddha call it lobha? Why he call it delusion, moha. Then why he call it that one is dosa. So lobha dosa and moha. Dosa is anger, hatred, the evils of negative emotion. So all this become very clear. Then when you understand all this movement and essential dhamma, then the word that the Buddha used, sabbe sankhara anicchang, sabbe sankhara dukkang, sabbe dhamma anatta, become very clear to you. What is sankhara become very clear to you. You don't need words or explanation. Yeah, you understood that thing that arises within your mundane mind. And your true mind, the awareness nature, can see all this unfolding, can witness all this. That's how you develop the cultivation. So mindfulness, heedfulness, awareness is very important. That's why to be heedful is to be ever mindful, constantly meditating. And you need that type of mind, otherwise you cannot see. You are as good as blind. So all this understanding will unfold when you are heedful and you are mindful. That's why self-knowledge, self-awareness leading to awakening, self-discovery of the many things that you never understood or seen before. Without mindfulness, you cannot see, you are not sensitive, you are not able to be aware. Okay, we move on. How do we work with our habitual tendency? Yeah, good. So we see how they advise you. Through our interaction with others. See? Your interaction with others. First, you see yourself first. Then when you see yourself, you understand what is going on. Then you can understand what is going on in others. So through our interaction with others, the world is filled with desire and temptation. How do we fight our own personal desire or gain? How do we make money? How do we get what we want from others? This confusing and chaotic world brings so much suffering and misery. When individuals make careless mistakes, it disturbs their families and their societies and create negative karmic forces. Thus, the world is like a tank filled with colored dye. If a clean white cloth is thrown in, it will quickly become stained. Therefore, in the past, monastics left society to engage in spiritual practice. When they renounced the secular life, they let go of their family, distance themselves from society and enter the monastic practices centers. The monastic practice centers. They learn to give up worldly habits and desire and to mutually support each other's spiritual aspiration and cultivation. After leaving society behind and let go of worldly desire, people's anger naturally lessens as well. In a spiritual practice center, no one is fighting to get anything. With nothing to take issue on, people's heart can naturally become open and their thoughts pure. Then there is nothing to doubt, nothing to feel arrogant about. So it's easier to rid themselves of habitual tendency. So this aspect is about secluding yourself and go to a conducive environment to cultivate, to develop the first type of peace. First type of peace is called kaya vivika, seclusion of whatever you attach to or cling to or grasp to in the past. Like when you are in a lame society, when you are born into this world, you tend to have parents, you tend to have brothers and sisters, unless you are born in an orphanage or you don't know who are your parents and your children or your brothers and sisters are, then that is different. Otherwise, you tend to have relationship with your loved ones. You tend to have your own wealth, possession, everything. So to renounce the world, the first stage is kaya viveka, self-renunciation, means you have to give up your name, your family, your possession, everything. That's why you renounce. Then you go the way of the monastic, means you ordain or you join the monastic. So your concern is fully devoted to cultivation, to study, to do your duty as a monastic. So they seclude themselves from society. Then they realize they are in a more conducive environment. But normally this type of monastic way place, they are more suitable, more conducive for cultivation. Because most of them, they keep their precepts. And the training is such, the monastic is built for that type of activity. And normally people who build this type of monastic way place, they have the understanding, and cultivator used to live there, practice there, cultivate there. So the energy also will be very different. They will be very conducive. So most people choose a location for the way place which is very conducive for building temples or monastic way place. That's why the first type of peace is dependent on the environment, the condition there. So that is the first type of peace, kaya viveka, physical seclusion. Then there is a second type of peace, they call chitta viveka, mental seclusion. The mind secludes itself. You go into samadhi, you go into inner peace, inner calmness, and inner awareness, and you cut off all of the distraction from the mundane society, from the environment, from your five aggregate, the thought process, the emotion, everything. So when you are in that seclusion, you feel very peaceful, very tranquil, very still. You have to go through that training, that process to understand the silent mind, the true mind that is without all this entanglement. Then you realize this mind is so beautiful. This mind is tranquil, still, fully aware. No word, no concept, no duality, nothing, no stirring, no movement. It is just that nature within. Then whatever that arise from there, you can see them very clearly. How thought arise, how the five aggregate of form and mind come to be, how dependent on the sense basis upon contact consciousness come to be, then how the content of consciousness went in, the views, the opinion, the conditioning, the stirring of the mind. So all this you can see when you have developed the stability of your true mind, the silent mind. Otherwise you can't see, otherwise it's only thought process, the conscious mind creating the mundane thinking. Then this mundane thinking through the wrong view stir, react, and create all the defilement to cloud your true mind, to obscure your true nature, to delude you, to deceive you, to cause you to fall, to cause you to deludedly grasp at the phenomenal world of consciousness. That's how living beings fall, inability to realize their true mind, their true nature, inability to have the awareness nature develop, to observe, to see, to break the self-delusion, the scarcity, the ignorance. So since the beginning of the first thought of ignorance until now. The mundane mind has been the cause of samsara. Living being has fallen to what it is today. They are so confused, taking the thinking mind or the conscious mind or the mundane mind to be the true mind. And they believe that is what they are. And they cling onto the five aggregates of form and mind, the form, the physical body, and the mind, and the consciousness, the five aggregates, the second aspect, the mental consciousness. So when they do that, they fall. When they grasp to this five aggregates of form and mind, it triggers sakkayadity, self-delusion. It becomes grasping aggregate. And that is the cause of suffering, misery. Because without the true mind, the silent mind, you cannot awaken to the Dhamma principle. You cannot awaken to truth. You cannot see things as they are. You cannot realize the universal characteristics of all conditioned phenomena. All conditioned arising phenomena, they exhibit the three universal characteristics of anicchang, dukkang, anatta. That's why you cannot cling, you cannot grasp, you cannot hold, you cannot give meaning. But there is another aspect of this conditioned world that you need to understand. Our form and mind is karmically conditioned for us to come to this world. That's why it's subject to karma. And that aspect is very important. Because it's subject to karma. That form and mind cannot simply do things. That form and mind has to develop the understanding of the Dhamma principle of the conditioned world so that it knows how to live life in accordance, so that it will know how to do its duty accordingly and appropriately. Otherwise, karmically, you will suffer. Your karmic nature will fall. It will cause you self-delusion that entangle you to all the karmic negativity, so that living being has to continuously goes on transmigration, they call it samsara, means the cycle of birth and death. They continue to come, they continue to die, they continue to go. Then this cycle repeats itself for eternity until they awaken and able to cease and come out of it, or develop the understanding of the Bodhisattva way and develop new understanding to come with a pure mind, not through the normally deluded mind or avijja. So all these are very beautiful, very useful. Okay, I think we go back to the notes, the sharing. Okay, so we will now open up for Dhamma meditation reporting and Dhamma discussion, Q&A.
Brazil.
Yeah.
Very 听到吗?
Yeah, 听到, clear.
Okay. Okay. 我要share一个 experience, last week 有一个晚上哦, 我在 line 到听那个 那个 mini talk 的时候, 就是那个 那个红色的那个 mini talk 哦, 哇, then 我9点半 我 line 到听, then 就 then 不久了就很像 哇, 半睡半醒, 听到听不到, then 就睡下去了, then out of sudden 哦, 就有一个 talk 哦, 当你在讲到那个 talk 的时候, 我整个人就 那个 mic 整个人就 awake 了, 然后那个 mic 哦, 就整个跟你的那个 talk 哦, 就 synchronize 的一直
一直那
他就每一个字就一直 absorb 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 一直这样一直走，一直这样子，就整个一直的去，他然后 fully 的就是 attentive 的，就是一直 跟住每一个 wording 就一直这样子，一直这样子走。你一讲完了以后、哦、哇，它里面就 agree，
yeah, yeah, yeah.
就 agree 你那个 talk， yeah, yeah. 那个 talk actually 因为不是在用那个头脑听，但是我不大记得，但是我大概知道那个 talk 讲到就是讲我们要怎样的去rooted out 我们的这个我们的这个delusions， 我们的这个
anxiety
这一些 at the end 的时候。But 你在 explain 那个 talk 的时候，哇 ，very clear。但是说那个 mind 就一直的哦，一直的 attentive 的，一直每一个 wording 就一直去听，一直去听。At the end 你就讲，如果没有这个 Yoniso Manasikara 的时候，我们是做不到。然后哇，里面就讲 fully 的 agree， 他 fully 的 agree 这个这个 statement。Then after 这个 talk 完了以后。就跳到了下一个 talk， 下一个 talk 就是在讲那个 Avijja Sutta
啊，对，
你就在 explain 每一个的那个 factor，
yeah, yeah,
the moment 我 the moment the moment 你一讲到那个第四个 step 那个 Avi Yoniso Manasikara， 等我再听到那个daily mindfulness， 还有这个 sampajana 这三个 wording， 哇，整个里面 is vibrating， 很像这三个字哦，去到了，来整个很像来，你 understand， 你 realize 了，连这三个字哦，这三个 words 哦，so meaningful， like stand up 这样。
对 because you have that ability to comprehend, then you have reflected, contemplated, and you have gone through some of the cultivation. That's why to you, it's like impact upon you very strongly, and it's so meaningful. That's why word by word it go in, and you know it's so beautiful. That's why sometimes you don't have to remember, never mind. But the nature understand. When the nature understand, it will surface. It will be there all the time.Then when the time comes, whenever there is condition, that understanding will manifest. Then it will give rise to the condition for you to come to understand that cultivation is not there. Without all this understanding, the cultivation cannot really take off. It cannot materialize. It's not about knowledge. It's not about Dhamma, scholarly Dhamma training.It's not memory anymore, it's understanding. So if you have not reflected, contemplated, and penetrated the Dhamma, this Yoniso Manasikara cannot arise. This Yoniso Manasikara is wisdom at the moment of sense experience. Manasikara is the moment of sense experience. Yoniso is wisdom.Wisdom at the moment of sense experience. So when you encounter life, when you live life, whatever situation when you encounter, this Yoniso Manasikara or wisdom will prompt you. They will come out and explain to you what this thing is. Then your nature straight away understand. Then you will not be deceived. Sometimes it will tell you, Rupang Anicang, Rupang Anatta, Sankara Anicang,Sankara Anatta. So straight away you will know. Or Sabbe Sankara Anicang, Sabbe Sankara Dukkang, Sabbe Dhamma Anatta. So inside that, very clear that all the phenomenal world of consciousness cease to deceive you, cease to have power over you. That's why you become different. Then you can smile, you can be with the moment.Experiencing all the pristine beauty and wonders of life, then you can understand things is just the way it is. Condition like that, things will be like that. Then you see things as they are more and more clearly, more and more clearly, and you understand deeper, deeper, deeper. That's why all these are the stages that cultivator will go through. That's why with this understanding and transformation, later on, when you...go through life again, when you are mindful in the midst of life again, your sati sampajana become different again. You can understand deeper. you can understand clearer, and you can actually move on to develop more and more wisdom, more and more understanding. Then you start to understand about the phenomenal world, about the way things are. When condition is like that, things will be like that. People are just the way they are. The world is the world. Condition world has its condition behind everything that arises. So you will not interfere. You will not stir your mind, react, and be influenced by it. Then you will start to understand the teaching, seeing things as they are. Things is just the way they are. Suchness. Ta-ta-ta. So all this will stand up. Before that, it cannot. It's only after you have developed all this understanding, then it will transform you and it will make you different. Then every time you encounter conditions, situations, or people, your mindfulness is different, your understanding is different, your yoniso manasikara and all those things is more and more like develop. Then you become different again. That's how you evolve. That's how you become transformed. You develop greater and greater understanding of life. And all this, you cannot hurry. It's a condition where cultivator has to go through. And the more you go through, the more understanding you will develop. Then when you have this ability to understand all this so clearly, you must make aspiration at the time to have this type of understanding whenever you arise, whenever you choose to come. So all this will become very strongly like Bodhi mind planted deep into your nature, so that in future when you come, this understanding will surface. The Bodhi mind will actually nurture. Then you will connect back very fast. You will understand all these things very fast. That's how my nature come. It straight away, like very fast, it will reach back to the level I use to develop the understanding. That's why I can develop all this understanding very fast. Then I can share it with the world and you all. So all this which you have gone through is very good, eh? Sadhu to you. So anything else you can continue. Yeah. You can continue.
Yeah. 哇，那个那三这三个就是 Uniso Manasikara, Daily Mindfulness 跟 Sambhajana. Yeah. 哇，整个人很像哇 fully 那个你整个很像 fully 整个很像整个醒来样子啊
yeah, yeah, yeah.
Full of 那个 energy 哦 Full of joy. After 这个 talk 了以后我就起来 then 我就去泡茶来喝 我看一下 midnight 12点 了哦
yeah, 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 yeah.
Then 我就在想 then 我想 为什么每次听你在讲 Avijja Sutta 的时候 我就听了十多二十次 maybe some more than that but 为什么 tonight 这三个字 哇很像整个人
The condition has ripened for you to assimilate and receive this understanding. That's why your nature will have that ability and it will rejoin and it will become like that nature will attentively listen word by word very clear like you describe it. That is the way of the cultivator's practice. Cultivator will go through all this. It's very beautiful. Then yep. When they unfold, there is a lot of joy. That's why this is what the Buddha meant by Pachetang. The Dhamma is Pachetang, can be realized by the voice, each for themselves. Because that nature inside understand this very clearly, right? And no doubt one, you know, it's so beautiful, but it stands out so beautifully. It's not a knowledge, but this is something you experience that you went through in your cultivation, that you can understand the deep meaning. That's why it's stated in his teaching, the Avijja Sutta, how you must develop step 4, Yoniso Manasikara. So step one, most kaya mita have Dhamma friends. Step two, constantly listening to the Dhamma. This is most cultivator also have Dhamma friends. Kaya mita also have. But depending to what extent, how serious you are, step two has a big difference. It is a big range. Those who are very serious, constantly listen to the true Dhamma. Step two involves a lot of Dhamma contemplation, reflection, inquiry. So step two, not only listening to the Dhamma to straighten your view, to develop the initial wisdom, it is the first and second turning wisdom. First turning is listening. Second turning is reflection, contemplation, and inquiry. Then after that, this initial wisdom was stabilized. They were stabilized. Then when you investigate into all the essential Dhamma and the teaching that the Buddha has taught you after you have listened to all this Dhamma, the true Dhamma, then there is this what they call joy that arises. Because the Dhamma, the essential Dhamma stand up to investigation, where you can see it in your own nature. The true Dhamma, the essential Dhamma manifests. All of the essential Dhamma that the Buddha taught, it show out clearly. So it stand up to investigation. Then you know you are on the right path. Then there is joy. Then your faith become very strong. That's how step three come about. When your faith become very strong, when there is this joy, this virya, it will move you to cultivate even more seriously. That's how after that you will experience many things. The yoniso manasikara start to arise to prompt you. At the moment of sensei, then you realize, you are different already. Now you know how to deal with it anymore. You don't go to memory and recall what did the Buddha say, what did Brother Theo say. Then try to act according to no need. But when there is no yoniso manasikara, you always want to refer to the text, the book, and my sharing. But when you have the yoniso manasikara, no need. That one come out and prompt you. Sometimes you know how to quote me, use my word. So beautiful we come out. Because some of the things I teach you are shortcut, are very intense, profound wisdom. Like sometimes I use the word, it's only a thought. How come he has power over you? So people like Alicia, they all who gone through depression, they will understand. Even Gumoy, they will understand. It's only a thought. How come it has power over you? That thought is a tool for you to use. So all this will surface. So use it appropriately. Then learn to love yourself. All this will surface. So the understanding of it is very beautiful. Then he know you, he know me. Then only mighty nature rolling by. Then the Diamond Sutra. Yijie yu wei fa, zu meng huan pao, zu lu yi lu tian, ying zuo ru si huan. So all this was surfaced because you have contemplated into it. You have developed the understanding and the joy, and it has stand out very clearly. So when you encounter a situation in life, all this was surfaced. Initially, maybe you have to recall a bit. You have to recall a bit. But later on, it becomes spontaneous, means you know you have developed step four already. Means yoniso manasikara is there. That one will arise simultaneously, spontaneously. Zoop, zoop, zoop. It keep on arising. Then you like, wow, so beautiful, the Dhamma. You can apply everywhere, every situation, every condition. That means you are more and more at peace. So when you are more and more at peace because of the yoniso manasikara, you don't stir your mind so often like before. Okay? Then you will move on to the next step, which is step five. Step five is when you have sati sampajana. So sati and sampajana have to be together, complement each other. Sampajana is to make sure you don't debate. Sati, for it to become continuous, you must have yoniso manasikara so that you have more and more moment of silence. Silence between thoughts. The silent mind, the awareness, the specific phenomenal awareness, the spacious awareness without a thought. Unless there is yoniso manasikara, you cannot be at peace. You cannot have that moment of silence. you cannot be aware most of the time. So step four leading to step five is a natural consequence. Without step four, step five cannot come about. Sati, ever mindful, constantly meditative, heedfulness cannot come about. Then clear comprehension also cannot come about. So all these are very beautiful understanding. As you go through, you start to understand. Then after step five, you will understand the rest already. The sense restraint, automatic one. When you have sati sampajana, very stable already, means your mind is incapable of negativity. The sense restraint is always there. At the moment of sense experience, you cannot stir and react like last time. You cannot behave the old way, the heedless way. Most of the time, you are at peace and you are heedful already. That's why step six and step seven is automatic. And they will come about after step five. Especially step six, sense restraint. When you have sense restraint, then you can arise the balance of the two right effort to cultivate the three way of right conduct. When you have sense restraint, you can cultivate right conduct. The three way of right conduct is your right thought, right speech, right action. So that one is the third right effort. You can arise the right effort to cultivate the right thought, right speech, right action that are still not in you. Then after that, the right effort to perfect them, to actually make them very stable until they become a part of you. So all this will surface. Then the three way of right conduct will be there. Then the cultivator will transform. Once you reach step seven, you are the cultivator is at least the first stage of sainthood, sotapan or sakadagami, second stage of sainthood, at least. Then after that, they continue with step eight, cultivate the four foundation of mindfulness, satipatthana. If they do that, they will go through at least anagami if there is still some subtle delusion or mana is the subtle conceit. Then after that, if that one is also rooted out, the last five fetters, they will become arahant. That's why in the Satipatthana Sutta, the four foundation of mindfulness, towards the end, the final summary, the Buddha said, if after cultivating this four foundation of mindfulness for 7 years, 6 years, 5 years, 4 years, until finally 2 weeks, you realize at least anagami, the third stage of sainthood, if there is still some form of subtle defilement. Otherwise, you will straight away realize arahantship. Then from there, step eight will transform into step nine, which is the seven factors of enlightenment. Then when you start witnessing the seven factors of enlightenment, you know you are on the right path. You have not deviated. Then the natural consequence is step 10, enlightenment in the here and now, the realization of Nibbana, means arahantship. And that one will happen. So Abhijja Sutta, the enlightenment sequence, is very clear about the cultivation. The Buddha explained it very clearly. So without yoniso manasikara, you can't develop sati sampajana or heedfulness, apamana. So from there, the cultivation move, which is very important, very beautiful, and for you to go through this experience of the meditation is very useful. It will help you a lot.
Yeah, Virgil, 过后我在 record 的时候, 因为我在 last year end 的时候我就开始去 reflect 跟 contemplate 这个 Uniso Manasikara 跟这个 Sampajana. That day 我 go through 了这个 experience 了以后, 我就知道我说只要我把这两个 这两个 step stabilize 了以后, 过后它的第六 第七 第八 就很 容易 了,
容易 了 的, like automatic one, 你一下子就理解了的。
That's why, yeah.
最注重最 important 的 step is 4 and 5。
呀呀，这个这两个 step 我花了很多的这个时间跟那个去understand 去 contemplate 去去 cultivate 它。哎呀，
No wonder you can do it. That's why you see the importance. Then you reflect, you contemplate. Then you develop a lot of this understanding. Because you intensify your step two. After step two and step three already, you intensify the investigation on the Dhamma. Then you develop stability or unisop manasikara. That's why all these words stand out. That's why when you have this understanding, you can understand what I share. Then all this come from the training, the silent mind. If you don't go through that training, you cannot pick up, you cannot understand. It's only like theory, dharma, knowledge, no use. But after you have done all this required training and steps, it will be very different. Your awareness, your initial wisdom, all this, they will stabilize and they will prompt you. And your transformation become very straightforward and direct, then you will progress very fast. And all this Avijja Sutta's teaching, the steps that is involved, become very clear to you. That's why the very first time I read about this sutta, I said it's very beautiful. I didn't know there was such a sutta as Avijja Sutta, the enlightenment sequence. That's why I put it under our website. And that one is the most important steps to follow in cultivation. If you follow Avijja Sutta, you won't go wrong. If you don't follow Avijja Sutta, a lot of people may debate. They don't really do it according to this way. Especially Yoniso Manasikara, people don't understand what that thing is. But I have met many monks, especially Thai monks, those who really cultivate one, they emphasize on Yoniso Manasikara. Last time that Prakku, the nephew of Longpo Tien, nephew of Longpo Tien, and he respect Longpo Tien a lot, and he told me, he said, "Brother, yes, he said, Yoniso Manasikara." He keep on repeating this word. I say sadhu, 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 because this is the real cultivation, the initial wisdom. Without Yoniso Manasikara, you cannot progress, you cannot awaken, you cannot stabilize your silent mind, your daily mindfulness. But this is the initial wisdom needed to progress, to transform. And nobody used the word initial wisdom. They only use the word Yoniso Manasikara. But the way I understand it is the initial wisdom that you need. Well, these are the first and second turning wisdom, the Yoniso Manasikara. But later on, the third turning also can go into the Yoniso Manasikara. But without the initial wisdom, the third turning wisdom cannot surface. Then after the third turning wisdom surface, it also become part of the Yoniso Manasikara. It will also prompt you, but that time your Yoniso Manasikara is very different again, very stable. That's why later on I realized I don't need to do anything. My mind is always like that. I don't need to really reflect or contemplate, but the understanding is so clear. It's like that. No. That it just has that understanding and it is part of my nature. You will know what to do. That's why I will not do all those things like normal people anymore. I can't. So it become like, wow, it show it to you that it's like that. There is nothing you can do about it. That is the way the cultivation is. That nature has become like that. That's why later on the mundane mind collapse. The nature shine forth and the understanding become very clear. The direct seeing, the awakening, everything become very clear. Then that nature went in. That nature, again, a lot of things inside there. That cultivation part and all those things, the transformation. So all this can be realized, can be understood if you really have the faith the sincerity and the perseverance. So once again, sadhu, very song, sadhu. Thank you.
Thank you.
Anything else?
Pertil, 我想问 ，Pertil 有一个那个那天 ，then after 我半夜12点哦，哇，我整个很精神，很有 full of energy，
yeah,
那个是啊、
yeah.
spiritual zeal 嘛
？Yeah. That is your virya, because、
okay.
there are certain phases of your cultivation. 你整个人呢 ，with the spiritual zeal, that energy.You whole day, whole night, like no need to sleep on. You are not tired on. The Dhamma joy, everything is inside there. you will go through that phase on, like, oh, you. Dhamma is so beautiful. The understanding is so beautiful. So that virya, the saddha, the spiritual faculty, everything, then your whole energy, your whole nature becomes so...That's the reason why when I share the Dhamma from that nature, it come out. I actually develop a lot of pure energy. And during that time, if I had some flu or whatever, I will heal one. I will heal. During the early years, it keep on arising. That's why my body at that time transformed very fast. And it become very beautiful. Then,A lot of things happened. I went through, I transformed, then my body get healed, many things get healed. But like I said, after so many years, it developed what they call, like you become immune to it already. You are so used to the pure energy and the nature's energy. So it's nothing surprising already. It's only when I share, when the condition is there,Then the non-human, the Dhamma protector, when they reach out, when we travel during spiritual travel, all this energy will come. Then sometimes from nature, the great being's energy, especially at Cameron Highland, my nature can tap and receive and I will know. Then sometimes they draw my energy. So all this is happening and there's a lot of joy. That's why you can hear all this heavy rain, the thunder, everything. All of the nature's occurrences, phenomena, keep on manifesting. This is the way they communicate. Sometimes that nature awakens. Like there was one year, I remember when your friend, Brother Chia from Singapore, when he was there with us, I think that 1 or 2 years. You remember?
Mm.
He told us Chunti, push up. That retreat was very, very strong, the energy. Then Joyce also went into that type of chanting, you remember? The Kuan Yin, Om Pe Mi Me Mi Hom, all this thing, very strong. And that nature just surfaced because the condition was there and they were all rejoicing. So this is the beauty of cultivation, the number. That's how you will experience that. Then it's like you don't need to sleep also can. You can enjoy your cup of tea, reflect, contemplate, and stay with that energy. Then you become very different. Then you will experience a lot of things that you know people cannot understand. Only cultivator can understand. That's why this is Pachetang, can be realized.By the wise, each for themselves, nobody else. So sadhu again.
Thank you, Baratio. Yeah. Baratio, 辞了了。
Okay. 可以。
我下一个 talk 才 continue.
可以。
Because before 这一个experience, 我还有一个before 1 week, 我有一个也是 experience. But 那个 experience, 我相信它有 connect to 这一次它 trigger off 两个。所以我在下一次才来share for 那个 previous 的 experience.
对对对。